boy, what a crazy bunch.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Good singing tonight. Good singing. And let's grab our Bibles. And our church secretary is getting a picture of the security guard preacher in action here. Forgive me for my law enforcement uniform here, but I have a scheduled shift at 8 o'clock tonight, so I'm going to preach quick. Praise the Lord. It's good to have fun in the Lord. Let's open up to the book of Galatians tonight. We'll get right to our message.
That was a nice picture.
And, funny. That is funny. Galatians chapter 3, church, as we continue tonight. Open up to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to pick up the text tonight in verse 6. We'll cover another 5. Galatians 3 and verse 6. We read, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these verses. And Lord, how we thank you for the absolute importance of these verses today. For there are Judaizers about. There are false teachers roving around and attempting to deceive the saints, O God, with their leaven of false doctrine. But Lord, we thank you that your word of truth clears it all up. And Lord, you've given it to us in black and white. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight for a church that is not deceived, but that we know the truth by the Holy Spirit of truth, through the word of truth. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Now, we saw last time how Paul revealed the utter futility of attempting to add Mosaic law, or circumcision, to God's grace. He just showed them that the Holy Spirit is only received, verse 5, by faith, and not by the works of the law. Now he's about to cite a great example in the scripture of what he's talking about. First of all, tonight, observe Paul's object lesson. Look with me in verse number 6. Going back to verse 5, how you receive the Holy Spirit by faith, by believing the gospel. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, in order to prove that circumcision cannot justify the sinner, Paul points them back to the very man that received the sign of circumcision, Abraham. And he reveals exactly how he, Abraham, was justified before God. I'll give you a hint. It wasn't by circumcision. Notice the word in verse 6, accounted. The Greek word there is logizomai. Logizomai. It's the exact same Greek word that is translated imputed in the New Testament. It literally means to pass to one's account. It's like if you have a bank account down here at the Citizens Bank, and I go down there with $100 cash, and I say, I'm putting this money in Tim Elliott's account. $100, I want you to put it into his savings account. Credit it to his account. So the teller takes the money, writes out a receipt. Boom, that money belongs to Tim because I accounted it to him. Okay? That's how it is with justification and righteousness. Now, to pass to one's account is what is intended by the word accounted in verse number 6. You see that? Or imputed. Now go with me to Genesis 15. Let's trace this down real quick. How was Abraham justified? And there's endless debate about this, and I don't know why. The Bible is absolutely clear as to how Abraham was justified. And it wasn't by Moses' law because it didn't exist till 430 years later, after Abraham. Look with me in Genesis chapter 15. And look with me at verse number 6. Verse 5, and he, God, brought him, Abraham, forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be, Abraham. And he, Abraham, what? Got circumcised. No. He got baptized. He joined the church. None of the above. Abraham believed in the Lord. And he, God, counted it to him for righteousness. The only thing that Abraham did was to believe what God said. Isn't that beautifully simple? I love the simplicity of Christ and the gospel that we preach. All you have to do is believe it. Simple, childlike faith. Notice the word counted in verse 6 of Genesis 15. It's the Hebrew word from the Masoretic text, chasab. Chasab. It literally means to impute or to account to credit to. It means the same thing that logizomai means in the New Testament. It's the same word, except it's in Hebrew. He's saying Abraham didn't depend upon circumcision or some law to become righteous before God, but he depended upon his faith, that is, believing what God told him. Go to Romans chapter 4. We'll see it again. How was Abraham justified? I'm glad the Bible tells us so that we can follow in the steps of faithful Abraham. In Romans chapter number 4, an amazing chapter on justification, look at verse 3. Verse 2, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Look at verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? That's Gentiles. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Oh, this is so clear. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Listen to me. Let me make a statement. If you believe what God says, he will make you righteous concerning the gospel of his son. All you have to do on your part is believe it by faith. That's it. Baptism, tithing, church membership, good works, all that will follow afterwards because you receive the Holy Spirit. But as far as your justification goes, it is received simply by faith, just like Abraham's was. James. Flip over to James chapter 2 real quick. Just before Peter, we have the little book, epistle of James. Look at chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled. Now, he's going to quote from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and say that that was a prophecy. Watch this. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I want to tell you something, church, tonight. If you believe what this book says, you believe your Heavenly Father's word, you are a friend of God. I love that song, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of... I want to be God's friend. Amen. I want to be as close to him as is humanly possible. Secondly tonight, back to our text in Galatians chapter 3. First of all, we saw Paul's object lesson using Abraham, the man, in his justification. But secondly tonight, notice the twofold seed of Abraham in verse 7. Galatians 3, verse 7. Know ye, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, before I say anything else, let me say this. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, did not just tell you that you're Jewish. He never mentions the word Jewish. By the way, Folks, let me make a statement because a lot of Christians are confused about this. Jewishness is not a religion. When someone says they're Jewish, they're talking about their ethnicity. It's like an African saying, I'm African, or an Aussie saying, I'm Australian. American says, I'm American. That's not a religion. Judaism, that's a religion, okay? They're not spelled the same. Now, he says here in verse 7 that if you are of faith, that's saving faith, biblical faith, you are the children of Abraham. He did not say you become an ethnic Jew. He's saying you are... Now, let me make this clear. Observe, in verse 7, Paul makes it clear that Abraham has two distinct seeds in the world. He has a physical seed, the Jewish race, which he fathered. He has a spiritual seed that is comprised of all those who are justified by grace through faith. Look at verse 26. We'll see what he means here. Verse 26 of chapter 3. For ye, Gentiles, Galatians, are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, that's not water, that's spirit baptism, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and the heirs according to the promise. Now, let somebody tell me. In verse 29, which seed is he talking about? Physical or spiritual? Absolutely. Everybody said spiritual. Because you know what the Bible is saying here. He's not saying you are a Jew. He's not saying you are a physical descendant of Abraham. Those people God has a special plan for. But in the body of Christ, quote unquote, very important. In verse 28, there is no distinction between ethnicities within the body of Christ. Outside of the bride of Christ, there is definite distinctions in ethnicity. Now listen to me. Note, replacement theologues of all stripes fail to recognize this distinction. They blend the Jewish race into the Gentiles' races. And their doctrine is all messed up as a result. Because they think that when they read, oh, you're Abraham's seed, that somehow you're Jewish. Or somehow the Jews are now Gentiles. And that is not what the Bible is saying. This is why we need the whole scripture, comparing scripture with scripture. You can't go wrong. If you isolate a verse, I was talking to a guy early this week, and he was talking to me about, I forget what it was. Oh, yeah, he was talking about the rapture of the church, how he believes the church is going through the tribulation period. And he's telling me he listens to these certain preachers online, and they teach that the church is going through the tribulation period. And I said, did you know, brother, that anybody can make that Bible say anything they want it to say, but it doesn't make it true? And he said, no, I know, I understand that. I said, okay, just keep that in mind when you're listening to these guys that are telling you this stuff. You know, you can isolate verses, sure. Take them out of context, sure. If you don't hold out faithful, Matthew chapter 24 says, to the end, you cannot be saved. That's not talking to a Christian, okay? That's talking to a Jew going through a tribulation period. So they're all messed up doctrinally because they fail to compare scripture with scripture to build a doctrine. Thirdly, tonight, observe the preaching of scripture. Verse 8, I like this. And the scripture. Notice how verse 8 personifies the scripture you hold in your lap. Watch it. And the scripture foreseeing. I love it. I love it. Because this book foresees what's going to happen before it does. This book tells you what's going to happen before it does. Why? Because it's a living book. It's alive. Nostradamus can't tell you what's going to happen. Edgar Casey, forget it. Look at verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel. That's the good news. Unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, what did you hear what Paul just said in verse number 8? Indeed, church, the scripture is a living entity. And it alone tells the future before it does occur. The scripture foresees. The scripture concludes. The scripture speaks. Look with me at verse 22. Verse 8 says the scripture foresees. Verse 22 says the scripture concludes. You see that? But the scripture hath concluded. This book makes conclusions about you and me. And you know what? It's never wrong. Everything it says about you and me is true. Because it is the voice of God. And God does not lie. Okay? The scripture foresees. The scripture concludes. The scripture also speaks. Look at chapter 4 at verse 30. The scripture also speaks. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Here's what it says. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. The scripture also speaks. The scripture sees. The scripture foresees. The scripture concludes. The scripture does a number of things that no other book in history could do for you and me. Because the scripture is a living book. Unlike all other books. Something else. What does Paul mean by saying the scripture preached the gospel to Abraham in verse 8? What does that mean? Go with me to Genesis. Again, hold your place in Galatians. Coming right back. Genesis chapter 12. Did you know that the New Testament makes it clear that what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 had to do with the gospel? That's right. We just read it. Look with me in Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. That's Israel. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, verse 3, according to the New Testament, is speaking of the seed of Abraham. Not to seeds as of many, but to his seed, which is Christ. Okay? The New Testament makes that clear, that what he was preaching to Abraham, God, in Genesis 12:3, was the gospel. That is, that through his seed, the entire world would one day be blessed by a particular member of his physical lineage, Jesus Christ. And oh, how that has come true. Oh, that's why we're here tonight. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 14. See it clearly. That the blessing of Abraham, Genesis 12:3, in thee all nations shall be blessed, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we, Gentiles, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed, singular, were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. That's what God told Abraham. And according to what we just read, Abraham understood. God explained it to him. That Messiah would come through his lineage and bless the whole world. Look at it. Verse 16. As of one to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, the Bible interprets itself, folks. You don't need some theologian coming in here and messing you up doctrinally. All you need is the Holy Spirit and His Word. Amen? Because this is true. Fourthly, quickly, notice the blessing of faith. Verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9. So then, they which be of faith, that's those who have saving faith, those who are justified by faith, are, present tense, blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, I love verse 9 because it speaks of the blessing of faith. We are so blessed tonight because of the faith that God has given us to believe on His Son. Here is the bedrock foundation of biblical salvation. That it is obtained by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is what Paul is trying to get the Galatians to see all through the book of Galatians. that the Judaizers coming in there and telling them about Moses' law and circumcision and the Sabbath day and all that, they're out of bounds. He's saying you don't need any of that because you've got Jesus Christ. You've got it all. Okay? Now, go to Romans chapter 11 quickly. And then we'll come back for our final point. In Romans chapter 11, notice this statement of the scripture, which cannot lie. Romans 11, look with me at verse 5. Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace, not of works. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What is the Holy Spirit trying to say in verse number 6? Simply this. One cannot mix grace and works and get away with it before God. God will not allow a sinner to be justified by depending upon self-righteousness and works. It has to be all grace or all works. You see the difference? Finally, tonight, back to Galatians. Fifthly, final point is this. Observe the great danger of seeking justification by anything except faith. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? Curse. You know what the last word in the Old Testament is? Yeah, Ellie does. It's curse. Curse. Because the Old Testament represents the Old Covenant. And everyone who is of the Old Covenant, the works of the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, listen carefully. And notice five words from verse 10 in closing. The words are, the curse of the law. Whoa. What a warning Paul gives us here. Paul is revealing the greatest mistake a human being can make in his life. Seeking to make himself worthy of heaven by keeping rules and regulations. That's what religion teaches. Oh, you know, if you're good enough, they'll let you in. No, they won't. He said, in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you break one of those commandments, you're guilty of sin and you're on your way to hell. That's what the Bible says. Beloved, I am afraid that one day millions and millions of well-meaning people will end up in hell when all along they thought they were going to heaven. Go with me to Deuteronomy 27. Very quickly, we've got to finish up. In Deuteronomy chapter 27. You want to be under the law? All right, let's read some of it. In Deuteronomy chapter 27. Here's what you want if you want the law of Moses. Look at verse 26. What's the first word? Cursed. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. He said, if you don't keep every single commandment, if you don't keep the entire law of Moses perfectly, you're cursed. That means you're on your way to hell. Now, folks, last time I checked, there was only one human being in the history of mankind that kept the complete law of Moses. His name is Jesus Christ. And he did it for you and me because we cannot. Jeremiah chapter 11. Got to finish up. Jeremiah chapter 11. And look with me at verse 2. Hear ye the words of this covenant, Old Testament. Speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. What's the next word? Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. He said, if you don't keep them all, you're cursed. What a frightening thought that is. Listen now. He's simply saying, like James in chapter 2, verse 10 of James' book, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. If you break one commandment in your entire life, you broke them all. All 613 commandments of the law in the Pentateuch. Now, that means that all the world, beloved, is guilty before God and under the curse of the law unless they get saved from it. Amen. You can be saved from that law through Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 3. We'll finish up. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 13. How I love this. Christ hath redeemed us from, what's the next five words? The curse of the law. Wow! Wow! Jesus Christ is the only one who can save any human being from the curse of the law. Remember those five words. Very dangerous words. And all people are under the curse of the law until they come to Jesus Christ. Beloved, listen, you don't need to try keeping Mosaic law or being circumcised, but you need to be saved from it. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. Lord, how we thank you for the book of Galatians, making it so crystal clear to us that our Savior not only saved us from the penalty of our sins, but he saved us from the curse of the law that we were under. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We love you and we love your word, the scripture. We love it because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals tonight.